Welcome to Nectar's Conversation Journeys. We travel to or invite the movers and shakers of the mobility, energy, and climate ecosystem. Listen in and enjoy the talks.
I'm super excited today, actually calling in from Bilbao at Energy Tech Summit. And this is the very first day. I just had the pleasure to meet Charlie Bodycott from JumpTech. And I was so excited about what we were talking about that I decided to just ask him to do an interview. Thank you very much for your willingness to contribute to our next year conversations. Yeah, I think we'd like to know, to learn a little bit about what JumpTech does and a little bit about your history personally.
Yeah, sure. JumpTech's helping the installation on EV chargers, solar panels, heat pumps, battery storage. We have a technology platform rolled out to a pretty broad network of install partners across UK, Europe, US. And then we work with energy companies, equipment manufacturers who need installation capability to give like good quality installation following their process, following their health and safety, following their permit approvals and regulatory approvals. And then importantly, provisioning the equipment onto whatever flex service that they want to use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How long are you in the market already?
Yeah, we started 6 years ago, actually. Mm-hmm. So I started in the UK.
Yep.
Helping smaller installers on just manage their regulatory paperwork, lots of paperwork when you're in an EV charger, particularly when there was grants to apply for. And then it's grown from there into bigger installation companies, into heat pumps and solar and battery storage. And then help you then, once we had that network, we could connect the bigger players in it to the installation network.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I understand you really have a very strong enabling role, right? So there are those specialists out there, but to put the pieces of the puzzle together to actually make something happen.
And that's actually one of the things we say, we are the ecosystem. It's we're connecting to the DNOs for the approvals, we're connecting to the flex suppliers, we're connecting to the installers, we're connecting to the energy retailers, the equipment manufacturers, and they all have a single view of what's happening. They've all got a record of what equipment's been provisioned where.
Yeah.
That's how it is at the moment. A lot of players are all playing their part in a big transition.
Yes. So managing complexity that for some clients is very hard to grasp, right?
Yes. Yes.
If you take a look at the history of the company, those 6 years, is there a moment that you look back and that you're, let's say, extremely proud of, that stands out in terms of, oh, this is a moment I always will remember?
I think the most remarkable thing about the company is the team that we've got, really exceptional people and a really exceptional culture. And I think all the way along, as we look at that and as we keep growing and seeing that we've actually sustained that culture is a very proud thing for all of us, I think. Obviously, there's the commercial deals. So when we first signed BP Pulse, when we first signed ChargePoint, these bigger deals, they stick in your mind and they change the trajectory of the business. But overall, it's really about, yeah, they come and go, but they're there and they become a part of the furniture, but yeah, the people every day. Yeah, I know.
And interesting that you mentioned that, because I there's a question that's keeping me up at night sometimes, and that is culture something you can plan for and create or develop, or is culture does it just happen? What's your take on that?
I don't think it just happens. I think it's partly about the people you choose to bring into the team at the beginning, but it's partly then. I mean, for us, it was understanding the magic that happened at the very beginning and the kind of the values and the things that were driving that. And yes, keep reinforcing those things as we grow.
Yes.
Use it as a just every day. Everybody knows what our values are. Everybody like repeats them and that helps reinforce the culture. But it's like being a kind of mission-driven organization where everybody can see the difference we're making. We are accelerating the transition. That's a very unifying kind of thing to attain.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to admit, this is one of my key challenges in a day-to-day operation as a CEO, to keep that thought alive and per burning, you know, that people feel it, right? And it's not just, I don't know, coding this feature, but how that contributes to the acceleration, right? And that's quite challenging. Talking about challenges, what is your current challenging thing? What's keeping you up at night?
The most difficult thing, I think, for any business in this space is just the volatility and unpredictability of the market. You can see in the next 10, 15 years, there are hundreds of millions of homes, tens of millions of businesses that are going to convert and use these technologies. but how many in the next year is much harder to goal. And look, you have to plan, you have to build the capacity of the team, you have to work out where to deploy capital. And when there's such unpredictability, and when some administrations are making such big moves that are changing the global economy, it is difficult to plan.
Yes, yes. And this would have been, it leads me to the next question. So clean tech, energy tech, green tech, et cetera, the area we're in, right? I perceive we have a tailwind in the last, 2 years ago. It felt like really a tailwind, a strong movement, progress. Now this turned a little bit into a headwind. I feel on a larger scale with what's happening in the United States. The EU is lowering its ESG goals, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that's a temporary thing?
Yeah, I think the ship is very much sailing. All the technologies have moved on so much over the last 5 years. I mean, you look at the price of battery storage, or the efficiency of solar panels, or the temperature that a heat pump can generate, or the price of an EV. And all of these things have now, they've crossed the chasm. They're now ready for mainstream.
Yeah.
And you don't need you don't need the incentives. It's like, it's just better to buy an EV, and it's the same price.
Yeah.
It's just better to buy a heat pump.
Yeah.
So, and I think, yeah, there will be, if there's a global recession, that slows everything down. But I don't think there's any question. The path to electrification is on course.
Fully agree there. And it's the question of what the timing is. It's open. Very last question, Charlie. If we, and it's a little bit of a gameplay. So if we put ourselves into a time box and say we land in the year 2035, so 10 years from now, and from the year 2035, we look back to the two of us sitting here in the year 2025, right? What advice would you give us?
Wow. There's a hypothetical. I think it's about stay the course. Don't worry about the headwinds. Adapt to them, but this is going to change.
Wow, I love the, I wouldn't call it optimism. I love the dedication. It's behind what you just said. And I couldn't agree more. Just continue, right? And so focus on surviving, because this is going to happen. And I feel, Charlie, you and your team and ChomTech are contributing massively to this transition. We try to also provide our share. Happy and honored to be peers in this changing ecosystem. Thank you so much for this conversation. I enjoyed it a lot, and all the best.
Yeah, likewise. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Lectures Conversation Journeys. Subscribe and tune in again next time.